Okay, we're live from Crane Christian Church, and I really have appreciated the service so far. God is good. He is so good. And how many of you have ever tried to drink out of a fire hose? No, but that's a saying that if something's coming so fast that, you know, it's just, you're getting a little bit, but it's all, and that's the way I feel about this series we're about to jump into, because I stayed up last night and just wrote sentence after sentence and tried to break it down anyway. But the good news is we'll be doing this as long as God wants us to keep doing it. So we don't have to cover it all today. I'll try to get you out of here by 2 o'clock, you know, in case there's something on TV you want to watch. Okay. So the name of this series is two things. Number one, the acts, not the acts, okay, but the what someone does is an act. You get that? The acts of the apostles / unignorable. And I have a friend who has a business that is called Indelible. Okay, which means making your mark and it doesn't go away. And there's a lot of these words that would fit here, but somehow this morning about a.m. sometime, the word unignorable. So here's the deal. A lot of times you think, you know, I need a new roof. I need a new roof. But then you see a little stain up there that looks like it's coming through. And then you go, yeah, I might ought to look into that. But then a couple of years later, you're standing underneath it and a drop hits you on top of the head. Then it becomes what? Unignorable. I had to look that word up, okay, to make sure it was a real word. I knew it was something that I used, but I just didn't know. You know, it might be a Bruceism, but it is a real word. Okay, but the bottom line is, in your life, if we're not careful, what will happen is there'll be these little things, and what, if we're not careful, what will happen is we'll push them back, we'll push them here, we'll put them off, we'll do this, we'll do that, and before long, it becomes unignorable, because it brings fruit. How many of you know if you plant a tomato, hopefully someday it'll come up. Ours are coming up slow there, but yeah. But anyway, so what happened, what we spent the last, I'm going to say 2 months on, and that's just a guess, because you know I have no idea. I could go back and look it up, but is the grace, the love, and the mercy of Jesus Christ. How many of y'all still believe that after hearing me yak about it for 2 months? I'm telling you, it's the word of God. And it's, we're going to get into what happens when you believe this, not just with here, but when it gets in here. It becomes unignorable. Okay? So we're going to start, we're going to do a recap, not of grace, because we've done it like 4 times. Okay? Evidently, y'all needed it, y'all mean people. Anyway, no, you know that I have to, everything has to filter through the gourd. And so that means I need it. All right. So let me tell you where we're at as we begin this series. Jesus has paid the price, which we celebrate every week here with communion. And I took all 4 gospels and put together a little synopsis very quickly. This is what he told the guys that were closest to him right before he left. When I walk out the door, if Kim's still there, I always say, I love you, baby, okay? I also say, make sure the coffee pot's cut off, okay? Important things. Does that make sense? Okay, here's the important things. He said to Peter, he said, hey, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Well, then act right. That's not what he said. I wish he had, it'd be easier. Okay. Do you love me? Well, then you keep the law. You make sure that you don't bring big burdens in on the Sabbath. Wouldn't that have been easier? What he said instead was, do you love me? He said, you know I love you. He said, feed my sheep. His focus was to take this grace, this mercy, this payment that he had made, and yes, we receive it, and I'm happy about it, okay? I'm happy about it. But not only that, but then it turns me into something else. My nature of being self-centered, all those things, it becomes, his grace becomes unignorable. It's the drip that turns into a stream. Before long, you got a bucket underneath the drip. And before long, it's filling your house. Because what we've done is we've opened the doors and just let it run out and say, well, you know, it's a little wet in here, it's a little damp in here, but I'm going to get up. No. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. You know another thing he told us? Last, right before he walked, leaves out, he's telling the guys, he said, guess what? He didn't say guess what. That's me. Okay. He says, power is coming from on high. We live in a land, we live in a time where everybody feels powerless. Do you know why? Because we are focusing on the government. We're focusing on this. We're focusing on that. We're focusing on what we can't have no control over. I want to tell you something. Part of the purchase of our salvation is that you become an ambassador. And you go, what? Yeah. I want to tell you something. When I walk into a place, Jesus walks into that place. And hey, it ain't, but I don't think that I have a Messiah complex, okay? But what I do have is an understanding of what he said, that his Holy Spirit, a seed of his rightness, surrounded by this stupid vessel that I'm in, he's there. Does that make sense? And you go, well, no, I'm just not worthy. You're right. On your best day, you've not been worthy. But guess what? The Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth, he made you worthy. So power's coming from on high. And then he said, I got some direction for y'all. Okay? Preach repentance and the remission of sin to all nations. And here's the deal. The remission of sin means these words. He paid the price. Jesus paid it all. And repentance is, Lord, I'm so sorry that I've been doing it my way. I want to go your way. Does that make sense? So his priority was others, power coming from on high, preach repentance, remission of sins to all nations, because he's dealing with the first thing, feed my lambs, is he's talking about now, okay? He's talking about power. That's talking about to empower you. And then he's talking about, hey, you need to tell everybody this because we all have eternity somewhere. Does that make sense? Eternity somewhere. That's another series. We'll start on that next year. Okay, whatever. So then we keep going through the Gospels. He says, hey, go and preach the gospel. What does gospel mean?
Good news.
Good news. The salvation of Jesus Christ to every creature. Well, you know, they're just this, they're just this, this person's just this, this person list. I'm going to tell you something. Get that out of your brain. What did Jesus, die for the good folks? There ain't none. So he wouldn't have nobody to die for. He died for all of us, to every creature. And those, as we preach this gospel, this good news to these people, those who believe. Does it say that those who got everything straight in their life, everything's got everything straightened out, everything's just perfect in their life? Yeah, you know, if you put enough paint on an old barn, it'll look like it's going to stand up. But, you know, before long, it's going to fall down, right? Okay. This ain't about paint. This is about sanctification by the blood of Jesus. Those who believe and are baptized might be saved. Oh, he didn't say might. Are you sure? I looked it up in 6 versions. I couldn't find no might. Okay. It's not might. Those will be. And those who refuse him will be condemned. And I want to tell you something. Jesus paid it all. He paid it all. And then some of y'all are not going to like this. It's okay. There's stuff I don't like. I go to the buffet and I pick up the stuff I like and I leave the stuff I don't like there. Okay. Then he starts talking about the birth of the church. Makes everybody nervous. Acts 2:4 makes everybody nervous unless you're Pentecostal or charismatic. It just scares them to death. It don't scare me at all because it's the Word of God. The church was birthed with supernatural explosion. And I want to tell you something. It don't have to look like that. Listen, I was here by myself in the church yesterday, and I spent some time with the Lord. And I want to tell you something. There was no music. There was no hollering, jumping, pew jumping, or dancing. But when I left here, guess what? I had been in the presence of the Lord. And that peace that passes all understanding, that direction that I received, that, and I love church. I come every week, okay, and more when y'all aren't here. But the point being is this, guys, I'm not exaggerating. Know that he is waiting on you to take that time. In the Jewish culture, they would literally be taking their prayer shawl and pulling up over their head, and that would be their prayer closet. He is waiting on you to go there to receive what he has for you. It's peace that passes all understanding. It's power from the throne room. And you say, well, you mean power to get 10 million views on so-and-so? No, I'm talking about power to live the life he's called you to live. And it may be, let me tell you something, you know, some of the, can you imagine watching goats out in a deal where they didn't have no electricity, didn't have nothing, they're out there doing that. And God calls you to be a prophet and you go into town and talk to the king at the risk of them cutting your head off. And they're still right. We still read the stories now because of what they said was ordained by God. And I'm gonna tell you something, you've got a circle, you've got people around you. And listen, everybody is not a voice, but everybody is a clog in this thing that God's trying to make work. Does that make sense? We're not all lifeguards, but we're all absolutely helping other people drag them out when the lifeguard gets them there. Does that make sense? Okay. So, every creature, quit culling people. Cull means on the tomato thing, on the tomato line in Bradley County, Arkansas, the tomatoes come through there. They take the ugly ones off. Only the pretty ones get to be washed off and then put up. The other ones, they get washed off and put in another pile, and they're called the culls. And guess what? They make that good salsa. They make that good, just not as pretty as the rest. Some of us just ain't as pretty as the rest, okay? So here's the deal. Literally, when that happens, and the sign was they were speaking in tongues, taking up serpent. And I'm going to tell you something. Don't bring a snake in here and want me to pick it up, okay? Y'all remember that story, right? We've had a snake on campus. It made I was YouTube famous there for a minute. They had an election day, and I come up there to open the front door for them or to make coffee or something. They use that over to vote, and there was a big black snake in there, and Forrest Thompson, the first thing I thought was, you have got one of those little rubber snakes and laid it out there. That was the first thought I had. You didn't. No. And I thought, and then it moved. And I was like, he's got a string on that. Where is he at? Because it just didn't look real to me at the time. It was too big. It was too, I don't know. And then it started going toward me like, I get rocks. And I'm in uniform, by the way. I've got rocks and I'm throwing at it, you know. And yeah, somebody filmed it. But anyway, it's out there somewhere. But the day the snake tried to go to church, actually, it was election day. Maybe it was more appropriate. Anyway, so here's the deal. It says they'll take up servants and people will be healed and they'll drink deadly things and won't hurt them. Don't bring nothing poison in here to me to eat or drink, okay? No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the protecting power of Jesus Christ. Do you hear what I'm saying? We're talking about, and don't get me wrong, don't Am I still hot? Yeah, okay, sorry. We won't start handling snakes. It's gonna be all authority. Sorry, it'll be all right. I just read something. And people were healed, and we've had people healed in this service, okay? There was not a light that come down from heaven and a voice that in funny music and smelling incense, nothing. But you guess what? We're better, right? We're healed. And I've had people talk about knees and all that stuff. And you go, oh, Bruce, you're trying to be a healing ministry. No, I want to be a ministry, which means service. And if I'm going to tell you something. When you're sick and you can't concentrate on what God's trying to do, when you're trying to do something through you, you need help, okay? So then he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. All authority. Okay, you say, well, then if that's true, then why is this happening? And why is this happening? I'm going to tell you something. You ain't the boss. No, I'm telling you. I understand authority because I'm under authority. And so, and I know who's got the authority. And then when they send me to do something, I go do it in their authority. Does that make sense? And guess what? You're not in charge. He is. And all authority was given to Jesus when he paid that price, when he said, telepestai, when he went to hell and got the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He owns it. It's his. And he's in charge in heaven and on earth. And then he says, make disciples of all nations. That's irritating. Because making disciples is not about just people receiving Christ. Earlier he says, just, you know, give them the gospel. They need it. Yeah, does everybody need the gospel? Yes. Okay, but then you get into the work. Making disciples. That means, okay, if we're going to plant, if we're going to eat corn, we've got to take the seed, put it in the ground, make sure it gets watered, then come up, keep the worms out of it, get it out, then pick the corn cobs off of there, clean them up, got all them little strings in there. Then you know, like my mom used to, she used to take it and cut it off the deal and then scrape the cob and then, I can't remember what else she did, but it was a good. But then we eat on it all year. But you see what I'm saying? It's work involved. Did you know making disciples is work involved? Okay. I love to tell people about Jesus. And I love that this is the emergency room here. It has been for many years. And we deal with people. And here's the deal. But making disciples is work. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teaching them the things. Now watch this. His wording here is very interesting. And you know, I'm not a legalist, or I try not to be. He says, teaching them the things I commanded you. That's what Jesus said before he left and went back to heaven. That I commanded you. And that does not mean that every word is not God-breathed in the Bible. It does not mean that we don't need to study Old Covenant, New Covenant, the culture of the time. Listen, I like to study, okay? But teaching them the things that I command you, and I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Does he ever leave or forsake us?
No.
Okay. So what I want to encourage you to do, wherever you're at, if you have a doctorate in theology, or if this is the first time you've ever heard about Jesus, I want you to get a New Testament that you can understand what it's saying. For me, that's just leaving out the these and thous, okay? And I mean, I can understand the other, but I didn't, okay, that's not, but here's the point. And I want you to make a project of reading the Gospels of Jesus Christ. And if you can, get a red letter edition. If you can't, contact me. We'll put you in contact with somebody that can get that for you, okay? I used to say I'll take care of it, but now I have to say somebody else has to take care of it because there's too much to take care of. But anyway, but the point being is this, you with me? Read that and apply that to your life. When he says, love the Lord thy God, love others as yourself, And that's just, I'm just picking, because I ask him, what's the most important thing? There's a bunch of rules out here. Some of these boys been carrying oversized sacks in on the Sabbath. And, you know, some of them hadn't been doing this, and some of them hadn't been doing this, and some of them's been cutting the edge of, you know. I want one of them Old Testament haircuts where they never cut it on the sides. They couldn't cut it. So it was down, you know, I could have a ponytail. I guess I could have a skullet, okay? But, you know, but we're not gonna go back to the law, okay? That's not a good look. Okay, that wouldn't look good on the telephone. Okay, all right. So here's the deal. Teaching them the things that I commanded you, and I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I will never forget. A friend of mine was in another place. This is nobody. Don't try to figure this out. A friend of mine was in another place. He finally gets this guy to go to church. He's working with him. He finally gets him to go. He gets there, and the guy spends 90 minutes on finances. This is a guy who don't know Jesus, would know Jesus if he come up in a new Cadillac, okay? And I remember him sharing that with him. He said, Bruce, I just got so irritated. And listen, you know, there's financial principles in the Bible that we need to go by, but that's not the time. Does that make sense? But what it is the time is that people know that we love them, God loves them, he died on the cross for them, and then you don't take a newborn baby and say, well, I'm going to tell you something, calculus is pretty important for a person to know. Well, you know, when I was 16, I didn't do too well at math. Anyway, okay, it's okay. Kim said something about a song this morning, it was in the 70s. She said, well, I was in high school. And I said, well, I was enrolled in high school. I'm not saying I went, but anyway. So let's learn the things that he said. And then let's see what happens next. Let's see what happens next. So in Acts, what happened is they obeyed. Is obedience important? Remember what the middle three letters of obedience is. D-I-E. You have to die to your flesh. I don't have a board up here. I'll draw it for you. Just write it out when you get home if you can spell it right. You might have to look it up like me. But in the middle three letters is die. And you have to die to your flesh. And as they die to their flesh, he said, hey, go to Jerusalem, get together, wait on the empire. You know, they knew Jesus had died on the cross. They didn't just run off. They obeyed. They made the choice to drop everything else they were doing. They had other things going on. I'm sure they had wives, kids, donkeys, mules, stuff that they went and did this. And as they did that, listen to the second thing. They were all in one accord, Acts 2. All in one accord. You know what that means? They were all on the same page. That does not mean that they agreed on who this, that. No, it's not theologically. It's like, I'm on your side. Does that make sense? You don't have to agree with me on everything. My wife don't, and I like her, okay? After 42 years, I still like her. I love her too, but I like her. Anyway, but the point being is I'm always right, and sometimes she's not, okay? But the point being is this, guys. They were in one accord because they're there for one purpose, and God is waiting for his church to say, you know what? We need to reach the sinners. We need to help people. We need to love people. It ain't about the tallest steeple or the biggest gymnasium. What it's about is Jesus Christ. And here's the deal. With that comes power. And when I'm walking in obedience to him, I am unstoppable. It's weird. And when I'm not, I'm stoppable. I'm detainable. I'm distractible. Okay? But when I'm walking with him, it means essentially I recognize the fact that he's unignorable. Okay? So that power came. They spoke in tongues. There was fire over the top of them. And guess what happened? They immediately built a huge church of the church of the unknown tongue. And that, no, that's not what happened. That's not what happened. Guess what happened? They began to take that power and tell about Jesus. They begin, and guess what happened? And then they begin to receive that, and they begin to understand. And here's the deal. This is where this series, we got, this has been the, I'll do it fast. Okay, maybe. So I'm going to open this door and then we'll close for the day, okay? Because here's the deal. People were healed. Everything was going. Not one thing they were doing was, they weren't saying, let's go over there and kill the Jews. Let's go over there and do this. No, not one thing. It was all positive. It was all something doing, proclaiming Christ, loving people. All of that was going on. And you know what happened immediately? Immediately. And so we should not be surprised when I preach grace, when I tell people that God loves them, when all that happens, I shouldn't be surprised when somebody rises up and says, well, you know, that's not the whole gospel, you know, because you're supposed to not work on Saturday. Whatever. Should we be surprised when somebody points fingers or that we come under attack? Because what happened immediately? Peter and John were arrested. And were they arrested by the government? No, by the church. And that's a picture, the church of that day. I'm talking about the Jewish synagogue, whatever. The leadership in religion at that point immediately attacked them because they were preaching the grace, the gospel of Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the enemy gets mad every time that happens. Every time that happens. And here's the deal. I ain't here to serve the devil. I'm not here to make him happy, okay? What I'm here for is to obey God and do the best I can with what he gives me, okay? And here's the deal. They literally came in and forbade them not to be good to each other. Forbade them to, they could do it. They could start their own little church. They could do this. They could do that. But what they couldn't do was speak in the name of Jesus. And that's what gets people. Well, you know, what saves you is going to church. What saves you is giving 10%. What saves you is girls with their hair high on their head. What saves you is whatever. No, that ain't what saves you. Because everybody wants to substitute, okay? A well-known substitute. But what there is only one under one name that people might be saved. Is that true?
Yes.
Hey, listen. One name, one way, one path. It's narrow. And you say, oh yeah, that means you got to do this. No, it ain't about you. That path has a name, and his name is Jesus. Jesus, the King of Kings. So they were arrested and they were forbidden to preach Jesus. And religion, I'm going to end on this, maybe. Religion is always jealous of relationship. I want to tell you something. Y'all know what Photoshop is? Okay. I could put something in. And I could take a picture and I could Photoshop in Elvis, Waylon Jennings. Of course, they're dead right now. But, you know, some of the guys that are famous. And I could say, well, you know, I'm just in here hanging out with my friends. Okay. And would that be true? No. I'd have a picture of it, though. Would it be true? No. But here's the deal. What God is looking for is real, a real relationship, not a picture of a relationship. And religion can be that. And listen, I love church. And people always say, oh, you don't know. Listen, I love church. I was praying about a different church last night. I'm not talking about leaving. No. Don't get weird. Okay, I'm talking about praying for somebody else in a different location last night because I want them to do well. Does that make sense? I do, you know what drive-by shootings are? I do drive-by praying. I don't shoot anybody. I pray. What I do is I go by churches and I'll see a sign and I'll say, God, help them, God. Help them, God. Because, see, I hope somebody's driving by here doing that. To help them be obedient to you, to do what God's called them to do. So, we're going to pick up, and if you want to study ahead, I just covered just about all the Gospels. But anyway, we're going to start in Acts 5 next week. My friend named Stephen, and I want to tell you, the enemy is always trying to kill the truth. And the truth is the love and grace and mercy of Jesus. And if you'll bow your head with me. Father, both here, online, and here in person, your spirit is there. Because, Lord, there is no time or space. You are there. So, Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, for those people that are here and they say, you know what? I've been beaten up by the church. I've been persecuted by the church. I've been ignored by the church. And Lord, I pray that they would feel your grace and love this morning and recognize the fact that Jesus paid it all. And because of that, we owe him everything. Not creeds, not even my understanding, but Lord, the person of Jesus Christ. So Lord, we celebrate the fact that you paid the price earlier, and I just want to celebrate again to this moment that Lord, you have called, selected, preordained, and predestined us from the foundation of the earth to follow you into eternity. And Lord, let me follow you. And Lord, let me be, as we sometimes leave the 99 and we go looking for that one God that you've called. So here we are, God, calling out to you. Forgive us for our sins. Help us to be the men and women you've called us to be. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. May God bless you and keep you. Let his light shine on you and give you peace. Have a great week.